Hi everyone, this is Joe and I'm with Amy.
Hi.
And welcome to The Dreaming Machine, the animation podcast from The Geek Show. And today we're talking about why She-Ra and the Princesses of Power is so awesome, why you must watch it.
Absolutely. Everyone should watch this.
So I was really passionate about doing this episode, especially with Amy as well, because Amy, your t-shirt got me into the show.
Really?
Yes.
Is that my large collection of Entraptor tops?
Yes, Entraptor, who's probably a fan favourite character, I was trying to say. So so before we jump into it, so I was really passionate about this because I saw this t-shirt when we met a year ago or something. And so it stayed in my mind. I remember asking you, what does that relate to? And you told me about the show. And then so there's this show on Netflix. So it's kind of interesting, but I had other shows to watch at the time. And basically, when we eventually got around to watching the first episode, within 2 weeks, myself, my wife, and my three kids had watched all 5 seasons in the space of a fortnight.
Wow.
I mean, my third kid was only a couple of weeks old, but I was sure he was into it too.
A friend of mine just binged it in a weekend.
It's a really great show. We'll give you a synopsis because it kind of... It is a kid's show. It is a show for kids. And my 5-year-old and 3-year-old loved it. But there's so much to get into for adults, I'd say, as well.
There's so much you can appreciate as an adult about it.
So just to set the scene, it's about it's a remake of an 80s show, also called She-Ra. I've not seen the original. Have you seen it, Amy?
I have seen the original. Some things are a bit updated. Obviously, it's got a different art style. But the basic story beat and the general world building as originally established by GMS of Babylon 5 fame, all of that is still in place. The main change is that it's no longer set in the same universe as He-Man.
So it's just a standalone thing, I guess. When
it's a self-contained story. Yeah, it makes it very accessible.
I think the first season came on Netflix around 2017, I think, 2016. Around that. So it's only a few years old. And yeah, so you're introduced to what, she's not called She-Ra to start with, is she?
It's Adora.
So Adora and her best friend, Catra. So they're part of the Horde to start with.
The Horde are invading. It's very much a colonialism story in that regard.
And then you find out about the power of She-Ra, like quite early on in the first season.
Princesses in this world have, it turns out, power.
And then she runs into the opposing side. They're just called the Princess Alliance, aren't they?
The Princess Alliance, yeah.
And so the two main characters she runs into are Glimmer and Bo. And it just kicks off from there, really. So she finds out more about the side they've been fighting and maybe... It's not as black and white as she thought growing up about who the good guys and the bad guys are. When I saw the trailer, it seems like a very, kiddish, glittery show.
And it is very, very sparkly. And I mean, look at Glimmer. Glimmer is a character whose power is sparkles.
And she's even got like permanent sparkles in her hair, I think.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's some really, really positive messaging for girls in the diversity of the princesses, and how a lot of them, they may all be sort of conventionally attractive as it was, but you have quite a diversity of like body types. Some of them are quite buff and a lot of them are very different personality wise, and all of them are important.
I mean, I think from a representation point of view, the show is so it puts a lot of other shows to shame, really, I think, in celebrating that freedom to be who you want to be and providing positive role models of all kinds, really.
And this is why it's so popular among the queer community.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, growing up as a kid in the era of the original cartoon, it was a time when, for example, Section 28 was still in law, and when queer coding was something only the villains got. And it's important now that a generation are growing up with this kind of actual fleshed-out representation in their heroes, and this is normal.
It should just be accepted that more shows are like this. It's kind of depressing this is a less common thing, but yeah, there's people of all kinds of different sexuality. There's a non-binary character who joins the show partway through.
And is fantastic.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I mean, we're just giving you a general like overview, really, because a lot of the fun is going in, letting the story and the characters take you all over the place, really.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in the first couple of episodes, so you have Adora running into, you know, the enemy and questioning what her beliefs were growing up. So you immediately have that kind of change in perspective. And she develops these great friends, Glimmer and Bo. But from there, like, so much happens over the course of 5 seasons. It's a real epic.
There's so much development to all the relationships, yeah.
I think Game of Thrones. We talked about Star Wars, haven't we? We talked about the show, the epicness of it.
It definitely has. The later seasons, it does start delving into sort of epic space opera to a degree.
Yeah, for sure. And so this goes a really interesting plot that's really advanced for what's a children's show, really.
You'd be surprised. Like, a lot of the time, a lot of stuff like this, people writing for kids know kids are smarter than they're often given credit for, and will write with that in mind. And this is definitely one of those cases. So yeah, it gets into some fairly sort of heavy and important stuff, like dealing with a lot of the things that kids are going to encounter in their lives. As a warning for some people, there is an arc that deals with, in a kid-friendly way, deals with things like sort of emotional abuse, that sort of thing. But it's useful to present that kind of thing to kids in a way that they're aware of it at a younger age, where they're probably going to start experiencing manipulation from other people, and have them be aware of that sort of thing going into it.
I think what's so great about the show is it brings up like those kind of really important issues that's important to be aware of, but in a positive sense, really.
It finds a way of like presenting sort of how you can deal with these things in life.
Definitely. I mean, the characters are all like really likable in their own way, but very distinctive and very flawed.
Oh yeah, all the characters are very well-rounded, certainly as they get more development. Some more than others, the ones that the main characters.
That's what works really well, is when you have this really epic story full of these dark turns and twists and things like, and these very important issues, you want to follow it because of the characters.
You care about the characters, and a lot of the time you can identify with the characters. In my case, straight up, they have one character who has been written from the start as an autistic woman, and firstly, not presented as often. Secondly, according to Noel Stevenson, who created the show, they had one of the members of the crew who provided input on that character, who is herself autistic. And that really helped with that characterization. It's very obvious to anyone who is. We all straight away identified with her when she appeared, and that became more apparent as the show went on.
And she's a fantastic character.
Oh, she's wonderful.
So I think the Princesses of Power, so we meet each of the princesses throughout the show. So we told you about Adora, who gets the power of She-Ra, and Glimmer. But so there's Entrapta that we're talking about here.
She's the nerd princess. She has her special interests and hyper focuses on them.
The love of her life is computers, to start with. Mm-hmm. an often hilarious extent. She really is the scene stealer, but she's really lovable with it as well, I think.
Mm. Her character flaws do become apparent fairly early on in the show, but she overcomes a lot of it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, she doesn't overcome it by sacrificing what makes her who she is. And that's an important positive message, I think, for autistic people everywhere.
And I was really happy to have my kids watch it because of those kind of thoughtful messages running through it, really. The creators like took care with representation and kind of messages they're putting out through the show.
There is a lot of really great positive queer representation in it.
So you have Bo, Glimmer, and Adora, the main people we get to learn, as well as Catra as well.
And also Scorpia within the Horde.
Yes. And I think each of them, they all really go on journeys through the character development. It's probably getting from our conversation here. You probably have a positive or negative view of a character at certain points, but it's not that black and white.
I think with some characters, it's fairly black and white, but that's because you do need a villain.
But I guess with a lot of the side characters who are like swept up in that epic battle and swept up with those like big villains, there's a lot of room for like grey area and like lots of changes and surprises, really.
Yeah.
So it really does keep you on your toes. But I can't really think of many other kid shows like this, really, with that kind of epic to both the representation and the depth of the characterization.
I think the closest thing would probably be something like Steven Universe, certainly on the representation front, and probably on some of the overarching stories. And I think a lot of the fandom crosses over between the two.
And you just talk about the three main characters who get together at the start for any newcomers. So you have Adora, Glimmer, and Bo. So Adora gets a power of She-Ra. Glimmer can teleport.
Yeah.
Incredibly cool ability, watching that brought to life.
And it gets used in a lot of original ways as well throughout the course of it.
I mean, it does really show like what would you be like if you could teleport? It's not like you wouldn't just use it for meaningful purposes all the time. I think it isn't her like bed in the ceiling because she can just teleport up there.
Yeah. Beds are actually a major thing early on because of how Adora is not used to the same kinds of, I have to say it, as someone who likes my hard beds close to the floor, I'm not a big cushion person in bed.
Well, they do have that, like, when she grows up with the Horde, like, there's, very rigid, like, discipline, no frivolity, the basic essentials, that kind of thing. And then, I mean, Dora's introduced to...
It's a very fish-out-of-water scenario.
Or a party. What is this party you speak of?
If you are on the fence about the show after a few episodes, get to Princess Prom. Watch it as far as Princess Prom and see how you feel after that.
A lot of stuff goes down at Princess Prom, without spoiling what exactly that is. Definitely give it a try, I think, because even though it's a kid's show, but one that lots of people can enjoy, I think, kind of like Steven Universe that you mentioned before, Amy.
It really draws you in, and then the next thing you notice, you've binge-watched the entire thing over a weekend.
And it's really funny. It's really...
It is. The humour is really good. Again, that's one of those things you can appreciate as an adult watching it.
It's incredibly funny. The action scenes are great. The princesses and the powers are very creatively thought through, and the way they use them in battle is fantastic. And the princesses, yeah, they have very distinct personalities, and they each go through journeys, which I think is a great feat given how many characters there are to juggle and how many different factions and how many plot points there are.
Yeah.
I think the animation's pretty good too.
Yeah. Yeah, the animation style, they keep it simple, but it has all the detail it needs.
I've been watching Kipo as well, which is another DreamWorks animation. And I think in terms of pure animation spectacle, that probably pops at you a bit more when you first start watching it. But
I
think the animation for She-Ra just works. It has it's simple but very bold.
Yeah, yeah.
Very bold designs, you know?
And like, and all of the designs really stand out as unique. Every character design is iconic, to use an overused word. So many of the supporting cast are actually really, really good and get fleshed out really well. Especially, and this is a good one, you get a lot with the villains on that front.
They all have very... interesting motivations you only learn about over time, really. As should be the case with all good villains, I think.
Yeah, it makes you care about the storylines more.
So I think fantastic characters, fantastic action, like quality animation, the voice acting's fantastic too. like full of life and energy and understanding of their the characters they're portraying. The theme tune's very catchy.
It is very catchy. And it's one show where it's worth watching through the intro, especially in the final season, because the intro updates with the story.
Which blew me away when I saw that. I thought, wait, did I just see that properly?
It's not the first time a show's done that, but it's definitely something you notice.
It's just incredibly watchable, and it's really funny, but also you really do feel for the characters.
I mean, there are episodes that will quite possibly make you cry.
So, you know, what are you waiting for? Go and watch it.
Yeah, go and watch it.
So thanks, Amy, for sharing my love of She-Ra.
And I'll be happy to do more spoilerific chatting about She-Ra for people who aren't so new to the show.
Fantastic. So thanks so much for tuning in to The Dreaming Machine. Make sure you subscribe to our channel. And thank you very much, Amy.
It's been fun.
Awesome. Take care.
Bye-bye.